Good evening and welcome back. You are listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're streaming on Guardio Talk on guardiantalkradio.com. This is the blank canvas. We are talking about the creative community here this evening. I'm here with my co-host Ashley Knowles and special guest Pam Burnside. In this segment, we're going to be talking about Nassau as a creative city. One of the things that Jackson was involved with over the last few years was an initiative that was attempting to have Nassau be a part of a group of cities around the world that were seen as a city of design initially, and then we kind of renegotiated that kind of category, and now we're thinking about Nassau being a city of basically craft and folk art. But everything that we've been talking about so far is this, you know, as it relates to the creative community and people actually realizing that they're a part of this creative community, just like Jackson made me realize I was a part of Junkanoo in a certain way. Everyday people need to recognize their creative kind of personalities, and somehow we need to be able to kind of integrate that in a way that we can see it. And so one of the things that we have been doing is we've been trying to become a member of this UNESCO group of cities around the world. And we want the designation to be one of folk art and craft. And obviously our main folk art would be Junkanoo. The craft, as we have a lot of hands-on basket making and, you know, boat making and straw work and that kind of thing. And all of this stuff was really what drove us to take Transforming Spaces to the to the theme of fiber this year. So what I want to throw out a difficult question. You know, when I teach my students, I say, what is art? And they just look at me blankly for like 3 hours, dead silence, right? And so for three more hours of dead silence, I go, well, what is design? Like, what does it mean to be a Bahamian designer? Like, what does that mean? Are craft artists designers? I mean, is design a nicer word than craft?
I think art, like I said, art is life, art is culture. Culture is art, and it's all integrated.
Right.
And design really is the process of making that happen.
Making it
right.
I think it's very simple from that point of view. Yeah. So whatever you do can be considered
art.
Yeah.
I'm of the school of thought that you don't need to necessarily place categories on things.
Exactly.
And that, you know, any creative process, meaningful creative process, I think that meaningful word is very important. It, you know, can be considered art regardless of so-called skill level, because you see artists like Amos Ferguson.
Right.
And by the way, I think his art is much harder to do than people give him credit for.
For sure.
You know, it doesn't look very sophisticated, but he made meaningful stuff. He wanted to make it. So I think in that makes it art, even though it wasn't, you know.
There was purposeful, yeah.
Right.
And I challenge these people, and just a personal challenge, right? Every person that goes into an art museum or an art gallery and looks at a piece of work and says, "Oh, my little 3-year-old could do that." I feel like I'm going to break out into hives every time I hear that, right? Because one of the things we're going to do, right, Ashley, with our new show, Amos Ferguson, down the road, is we're going to have a room that addresses that allows you to try to paint like Amos Ferguson.
Yeah, that's
to try.
Interesting.
I really want to.
Because you could just
that.
Try it, you know, because a lot of people have a lot to say, but a lot less to do.
Right.
You
yes.
know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're there. So anyway, to get back to this idea of, I got a little angry just then, sorry. A little anger management. But, you know, this idea of being a designer, a craftsperson, you know, being able to use, like Ashley says, meaningful, purposeful creative processes, right. I think are really, really important for us to recognize, because I think a lot of us are doing it already, but we don't realize that we're doing it.
Yeah.
Somehow we feel like we need to jump through some hoop in order for it to become validated, you know?
And it's a matter of taste as well, you know, and your the way you look at things, your vision. I mean, someone might wear a dress that you think it looks crappy, but for them, it looks good on them. And so, you know, they're able to pull it off.
Yes, there's that personal judgment
going
on.
Right, it's a matter of perception as well. Right. And so, you know, you look at high art, same thing in fashion, you know, old couture dress as opposed to something off the rack or something you just wrap around you, you know. It's a matter of degree.
Right, right. I mean, because it's degree, it's function, you know, as well. I mean, I think there's a whole aspect of that, Ashley.
I do wonder, though, how much of that validation comes from the art community themselves, though, because, you know, I was only able to break into this art community now, so because I started working at the NAGB, and you know, like, so for those artists who sell in the straw markets or who sell in the tourist spots or who have shows in really small private places or like in churches, are they part of the art community? Because does our community see them as being part of them as well? Like, I think sometimes we can be a bit exclusive.
No, absolutely. I think that we have to balance it too. You know, I think that we do need, in order for, you know, kind of successful self-reflection, we do need to have a structure that has some kind of hierarchy. But I agree that oftentimes that hierarchy gets exploited to the degree that people feel like, oh, well, I could never do it. I'm not an artist because I've not ever been in an art gallery. I don't know artists. I've never had an exhibition. No one's ever bought any of my work. And I think all of those things need to kind of get rethought. And so in this initiative to try and get this to attempt to get this designation from UNESCO, you know, we talk about, you have to define yourself. You have to define yourself and you have to present yourself. And that's very, very difficult. Because once you start talking, it's difficult to stop talking, right? This is what I've been told personally. And then, you know, it's difficult to sum it up. How do we sum it up for the quote unquote other? And how do we live with the with the correct amount of kind of tension and distance to the other? Like, we want to embrace, but you also want to go into the conversation and not lose yourself in the conversation, because you could very easily do that. And Bahamians, we like to do that. We like to validate our own people through external validation. Right. So if someone comes in from the outside and says, "Ashley, boy, you smart now," then other Bahamians will go, "Why, Ashley? Yeah, you're really smart." But no Bahamian will
whatever
jump up and
first.
give you that accolade before someone else comes and does it. And that's a fundamental problem as it relates to creativity.
The problem is that we let other people define who we are,
right,
instead of working from our own background, what we have, and thinking of the history that we have in a certain field and using it to our advantage. You know, we can't be validated by other people because this is us. You know, we will be influenced by others, yes, but, you know, to what extent do we take that influence and turn it into something else? It's like Bahamian music, you know, the big debate. Can we only use Junkanoo music in order to call it Bahamian? Or is it just because a Bahamian is playing it and he's playing reggae and soca, is it still Bahamian? You know, so all of these conversations, I think, have to be had because it's all simmering and under the surface. And it makes a divide in the community, I think.
It's a language thing, too. And then we think because of that, I know that's a conversation that I try to have with my students quite a bit about this Bahamian brand, if you want to call it that way. When you say, oh, it's a Bahamian, is it Bahamian art? Is it Bahamian food? Is it Bahamian music? I think that there are some semantics that are involved with that dialogue, because I think, if we change the context slightly, just for 1 minute, right? Jackson used to go off on tangents, right?
Oh,
this is a one-minute tangent, right? But if we're talking about Italian food, right? I think we all understand what we mean by Italian food. I don't think it means that if you're an Italian and you make Chinese food, that it should be called Italian food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish, I believe, we're trying to establish in the context that Italian food is called Italian food, that Bahamian art and Bahamian music can be called Bahamian art. So we're trying to establish a stylistic definition. And I think that some of it gets to be a little complicated when we start moving it all over the place and the context starts switching on the fly. That's when people start throwing balls at each other, you know?
I even worry about that because, you know, I'm an anthropology student by training, and you know, this definition of Bahamianness and Bahamian art, it's so contentious because it, you know, in trying to do so and brand ourselves and market ourselves and just be ourselves, we're excluding so many people.
Right.
Because, you know, in order to define, you know, ourselves as a creative city, or what is a Bahamian creative city, we're excluding people because we have to essentially stereotype ourselves, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
It might be being a bit harsh, but, you know, it will exclude some people. And then what happens to those people who don't feel like they've been accepted or included in this definition?
Right.
And then this definition will transform because it becomes global. And this is how people will perceive us. And does that change how we perceive ourselves? It's complicated.
No, that's a very, very important thing. That's something that I've grappled with as a Bahamian, as an artist. Like, that's something that I really, really had to grapple with, because I had a lot of people say, what are you doing? This is not Bahamian. You can't do that. You're thinking, once your thinking evolves back to this, mm-hmm. then you'll be acceptable. And I feel like that's a transformation you kind of have to go through for yourself. That's a very, very difficult thing.
It's like a personal journey.
It's a personal transformation you have to do. And I found that's one of the things that Jackson helped me with. Like, as a mentor, he would always say to me, listen, you got to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And somehow you're not outside of the glass. Like, you're not on the outside, you're on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I think that we do a tremendous disservice. I agree, Ashley, when we talk to people, especially young people, and say, listen, you're not a part of this because of what you're not doing. I think that's an important thing. But we also have to drive that thing that Jackson used, the Sankofa bird as mm-hmm. a symbol, the bird kind of flying, paying homage to the past,
right.
The bird flying forward with its head turned mm-hmm. around, looking
mm-hmm. yeah.
At its own history as it's moving forward, I think is an interesting thing. And you see that summed up in his costume, his right. Soldier Boy costume that he has there, where he's moving forward, and you can see the evolution of the costume there. It's the small, tight fringing that a lot of people say, oh, it's a no-no, but then mm-hmm. he's blowing a conch shell.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's blowing the oldest instrument, but he has a modern cost. You know what I mean? So I think that there's a lovely balancing act there that you kind of have to, you need to be able to engage both things, because it's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to break it to you, you know?
No.
Facebook is not going away.
No, we are not going away.
You know, until something better comes along, or something more advanced replaces mm-hmm. it, it's not going to go away.
I think that was important. You know, we struggled. We started this Creative Nassau thing in 2008. And we struggled through, you know, trying to get the designation of a city of design as opposed to one of folk art and creativity. And we decided that it's more inclusive to be able to call it folk art and to use the straw and the junk canoe, because that way we are able to meet more people in the community and get them involved. Because saying design was such, an esoteric kind of heading that people didn't get, you know, unless we were brought up into more of a design community.
Sure.
Which we are, but we don't recognize yet.
Right.
So using the junk canoe and the straw, I think, is a way to reach more people. And in our educational outreach as a part of this program, I think that we will be able, and having had the show at the NAGB, people will realize that, you know, art and culture is a very important part of who we are as Bahamians.
Yeah, that whole idea mm-hmm. of design in the first campaign, where we thought that we would go to it as mm-hmm. a city of design, I think every time we took the document to the committee, I think they were seeing it because they're using their definition of design.
Mm-hmm.
The cities of design around the world are cities like Montreal and Beijing.
Big industrial
cities that have subway infrastructure mm-hmm. bigger than New Providence. And they're talking about that. And they're talking about skyscrapers, you know, buildings over 70 stories high and that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And so we're thinking, well, no, that's really not what we're talking about.
No.
But however, you know, you know, you can design the smallest gadget, you know, that's 6 by 6 inches with the same amount of intensity mm-hmm. and engagement as you do something that is 60 stories.
Right.
So we are taking a break now, and we're going to come back and continue this conversation about the creative city of design and where we're going to take that. So we'll take this break, and we will talk to you when we get back.
Mm-hmm.